Galatians chapter number 5, and I'm preaching through the book backwards, apparently. I started in the back end and going the other way. I don't know. That's par for the course. I'm dyslexic, so starting with the back and going to the front looks right from my perspective, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm looking today in the book of Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5, and I want you to stand with me as we find verse number 13. I've used this verse several times, but today I want to take a little more in-depth look. Galatians 5 and verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed, or that you be not consumed one of another. Verse number 16 says, then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these things are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the work, or not under the law. If ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And so this morning, I'd like to take a few minutes, and I'd like to deal with our liberty in Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, help us now. Lord, I pray that you'd gather my thoughts, and Lord, I pray that you'd help me to properly deliver the truth of the Word of God, and Lord, speak to some heart, save some sinner, we pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. I want to, this morning to look at several different things. I want to look at three main aspects that I see in this passage, and maybe deal with each one of those a little bit. First of all, there's the declaration in verse number 13. The Bible says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. You've been called unto liberty. So let me see if I can explain what's going on. The church at Galatia, they were born out of grace. They were born by grace through faith. That's how they came to pass. But hot on the heels of the Apostle Paul and to those that followed the Apostle Paul, as the churches would start, here would come a group called the Judaizers. And the Judaizers would say salvation equals, those that preach liberty would say salvation equals grace through faith, period. The Judaizers would come in behind them, the legalists, and they would say, salvation equals grace through faith plus law or works. And that was their equation. Boil it down, plain and simple. It's amazing that that's the case in many folks. That's how many people believe it. Grace plus faith plus works. The Mormons, that's what they believe. That's what most people believe. Grace plus faith plus works. That's how you get to heaven. And that's what they were teaching the Galatians. And Paul rebukes them fairly sharply over this issue and says that you're called unto liberty. They've been called out of legalism, of all the thousands of years of that, out of legalism into liberty. And so I'm going to use those two terms as polar opposites, legalism and liberty. Legalism and liberty. And by the way, those two don't go together. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. You can shake them up, but they'll separate. You can't mix the two. And that's why the Seventh-day Adventists get in so much trouble. That's why all these other groups get in so much trouble. They're trying to mix law and grace. And the bottom line is they don't mix. All right? They don't mix at all. So you say, well, preacher, I don't understand. What does a legalist believe? Well, a strict legalist believes you keep the law to get to heaven. That's what they believe. That's old-fashioned Old Testament Judaism. But in the New Testament, what they were doing were they were saying grace plus faith. You got to believe in Christ and keep the law. And so they added another layer to it. And basically, they said this. I'm painting with a broad brush. Legalism says that anything the Scripture doesn't permit is wrong. Anything the Scripture doesn't permit is wrong. That's legalism in today's, where we are today. And generally, I'm going to go just the other direction. Liberty says that anything the scripture doesn't prohibit in principle is right. And somebody said, now wait a minute, preacher, are you saying anything the scripture doesn't prohibit in principle is right? Yeah. He said, well, the Bible don't say anything about marijuana. Is marijuana right? I said, in principle. The principle says be not drunk. So, but the Bible says wine. It means it don't matter what it is. It's drunk is drunk, all right? And the Bible condemns drunkenness. It don't matter if you get drunk from sniffing paint thinner. If you get drunk from drinking liquor, it don't matter how you get drunk. But when you get impaired, that's the idea. When it impairs you, when it releases those inhibitions. You understand what I'm talking about? That's why people drink, so that they, you know. I used to know a guy that had a race car. And it's fast, it'd jump off the ground, literally, it'd jump plumb off the ground. It grabbed traction, and the traction bars was too high, the wheelie bars too high. It jumped literally off the ground. Saw a picture of it when it jumped off the ground. And he couldn't drive that thing very good until he got about 3 sheets in the wind. Anybody know what 3 sheets in the wind is? Some of you know what I'm talking about. There was a place that he had just enough beer. Sometimes the place he'd get in, he'd hold it all the way to the floor and drop a clutch. It didn't matter. He'd tear everything in it. It didn't matter. You know, he got to where he didn't, you know, before he's scared of it and scared of the guy. But when he got to drinking, he'd do anything. That's exactly the way it works. But my question is, why in the world would anybody want to do that? To release the inhibitions to do right? Why would anybody want to do that? The scripture warned about uttering perverse things and all these other things that happen when you do that. And so there is the calling unto liberty. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. And so there's the declaration to declare the calling unto liberty. Listen, if you wanted to be back under the law, there's 10,000 religions that believe that. I mean, you can go back under Buddhism, you can go back under Hinduism, go under Mohammedism, go under all of those groups, all the cults, all the crowd. They all say you got to do something. The difference is their list is just a little different, but it's all due. Liberty is the only one that says it's done. It's been done in Christ Jesus. And so we're to declare the calling unto our liberty, but then he declares the caution in our liberty. He says this, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Now, in my mind, an occasion, my idea behind the word occasion means just an occasion. In other words, an occasion's just here for a second and it goes away. We have an occasion, just an occasion. Okay? You saw a deer cross the path and it was running, and just for an occasion you saw it. You didn't see it, you saw it, and then it's gone again. But you didn't have the occasion to get the gun up and shoot it. That ain't at all what the word means. When I got to digging in the word, I thought, what in the world? It means a military installation. It comes from the idea of a camp, an encampment. It comes from the idea, if you can say it this way, a base of operation. In other words, don't let your Christian liberty become a base of operation for wickedness. You say, well, I could do that and not go to hell. My friend, it's not about whether or not we're going to go to hell. It's whether or not we're going to serve God and live holy, live righteously, be right with God. It's not about going to hell. It's about, that was secured on Calvary. But it's about establishing a base of operation for wickedness in your life. You might understand that? Let me give you a quick. Most kids, and it's changing, I know that. Most kids started out using tobacco, and that was what they call the introductory drug. And then from that they switched to marijuana, and then from that it went to alcohol and other things, and then it went to meth, and then it went to cocaine, and it went to heroin, and it went to, and now we've got fentanyl, and I don't know what and all is going on, and it's just unbelievable what's going on. But it's interesting to me that most of those folks smoke, or many of them started out with that. It was an introductory thing. Like drinking beer, boys drinking beer, it's an introduction to get into those other things. It's a base of operation. See what I'm saying? You establish a base of operation for the flesh, And that feel-good feeling that comes with the flesh, and then the next thing you know, you've established a base of operation. You've given them a stronghold in your heart and in your life. And so that's not what Christian liberty. There's a caution about that. And then look what the scripture says here. Not only were we to declare the calling of our liberty and the caution in our liberty, but also to declare the character of our liberty. Look what the scripture says. But by love, serve one another. There's two very strong words that are found in that passage that are we use them every day. By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's very possible the tribulation started last week. It's very possible. Krispy Kreme in Hendersonville shut the doors and took the sign down. I am changing my doctrine to mid-trib. I am. I think we're in the tribulation. And if they closed Chick-fil-A, I know we're in it, all right? Full-fledged, we in it. I never thought I'd live to see the day when Krispy Kreme couldn't make it. Stinking health nuts, I blame it on them. Terrible Krispy Kreme. So I said, well, they got Dunkin' Donuts. Son, you couldn't trade me ever Dunkin' Donut for one Krispy. There ain't no way, son. No. Now, we won't argue about that, but I'm right. But we won't argue. The Bible says, but love one another. I love Krispy Kreme. But that's not the word that's used here. The word love here is that big word. And I use the Greek because you know it. Agape, which means God love, one-way love. A charitable love, a love that loves but without anything in return. It loves whether you love it back or not. One-way love. Everybody translates 1 Corinthians 13 into love when the word charity is used. My friend, love, like I say, I love Krispy Kreme. But the word charity means that I'm given one way with no expectation of ever giving anything back. That's the kind of love that God loves with. The scripture says that you love, first of all, by love, and then the word serve. Whew. Now that seems very simple. Serve. You have somebody who serves your dinner, you know, at the restaurant. You have people who serve in the military. Let me tell you what. The word serve here, it is the root word for the word slave. That's where it comes from. So, let me see if I can frame this for you. Talking about liberty, talking about occasion to the flesh, that we are to, with a God-like love, become slaves one to another. A slave doesn't expect a paycheck on Friday. A slave doesn't expect somebody to return the favor. It's not how slaves do. Slaves serve with no expectation of getting anything in response to it. That's the character of our liberty. And can I say it this way? If we serve like that, and we have that attitude, you don't have to worry about keeping the law. You ain't got to worry about all those other things, my friend, because there is a declaration here. For brethren, you have been called. You've been called. What have we been called to do? The scripture is called unto liberty, and it says, don't use it to occasion of the flesh, but let's pick up the latter part. So the sentence reads like this, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty, but by love serve one another. That's the complete thought. As a charitable slave without respect of anything in return. Now I can tell you, it's easy to serve people. It's easy to, there's a big movement, you know, about servants and all those things, and a big movement. And it's fine to that, and it's all good to serve until somebody treats you like one. And when somebody treats you like a servant, then all of a sudden it ain't as much fun as it was. They don't appreciate what you've done, and it's not near as much fun as it was. But that's the character of our liberty without any expectation. So there's the declaration. I want you to look at a definition in verse number 14. The Bible says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. So let's define the core principle. Let's go here and let's define the core principle in Christian liberty. What it is. What is it, preacher? What are you talking about? What is liberty? Well, the Bible says, for all the law is fulfilled. Look at that phrase. fulfilled in one word. One word that fulfills all the law. And by the way, it's the one word that the legalist could not find. And there again, it's the word love. And then it says, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the one word fulfills all the law, and one word that's found is love. And so that's the principle of New Testament Christianity. It is not, my friend, in the Old Testament, there was a list of don'ts. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. According to the Jews, there were 613 tenets of the law. And many of them were framed in the phrase, thou shalt not, as the Ten Commandments. But I want you to look what the Scripture says in verse number 14. The Bible says, thou shalt. The Old Testament under legalism, we had thou shalt nots. In the New Testament under liberty, we have thou shalts. And by the way, in many cases, the thou shalts are tougher than the thou shalt nots. Because the thou shalt nots, I knew where the edge was. And I could tiptoe around the mud hole, and I knew exactly what I was trying to avoid, because the thou shalt not, you know, thou shalt not get thy toe in the mud hole. Well, I just tiptoe around it. But boy, when they gave the thou shalts, it's a little different. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, wait a minute. The illustration that I read somewhere said you're walking through town and the fire engine, the fire whistle goes off. And a fire truck races by, and another one, and another one, and another one, and you get to look at it, and there's smoke rising in the air of your neighborhood, and so you beat feet down the sidewalk, and the closer you get, the worse it gets, and more departments are called in, and people are running, and people are screaming, and there's a house on fire, and they know there's a house on fire, and you run up, and you look, and it is your house, and you grab the neighbor and say, praise God, I was so afraid it was your house. I'm just thankful it's my house and not yours. I'm so glad my house is burning to the ground. Everything I own is burning down. I'm just glad it wasn't your house. You say, preacher, that don't even make sense. I told you that the thou shalts are a little harder than the thou shalt not sometimes. That's what it says. That's what it says. In other words, there's a list. The Old Testament is full of thou shalt nots, the don'ts. But the New Testament is full of the thou shalt, the do's. And I'm telling you something, those do's are a little harder than those don'ts sometimes. So let's define the core principle. But then, you got to mention this, because Paul mentions it in verse 15. You also have to define the carnal practice that goes with this. And this is going on, and I believe saved people are involved in it. But the Bible says that there are people who use, instead of Christian liberty, Christian license. What does that mean? Well, it's a license to sin. They use it. I had a fellow tell me one time. He said, well, we're going to do it. We know it's not right, but we're going to do it. We're just going to 1 John 1, 9 it. I said, excuse me? He said, we're going to 1 John 1, 9 it. I said, what does that mean? He said, well, the Bible says if thou shalt confess sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're going to go ahead and do it, and we're just going to 1 John 1, 9 it at the end. And I said, well, what's the difference between that and going to the priest and paying money and get absolution and get license to go do something? What's the difference? If you premeditatedly do that and know, listen, you're presuming upon the grace of God's what you're doing. Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The principle that, oh God, grace will cover whatever we do. And Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? And he said, God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin continue any longer therein? He says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. He is talking about the carnal practice of Christian license. That's not what liberty is. The word bite, it has the idea to rend someone with reproach. The word devour, it means to consume someone. And then, of course, the Scripture says that you be not consumed one another. It means to destroy someone. In other words, your Christian license can be the downfall of someone else. And so Paul is making a very strong statement and is defining it very clearly. He defines the core principle of liberty in verse 14, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he very definitely defines a carnal practice of what's concerned, considered Christian license. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. And so there is the declaration concerning this whole thing of liberty. And by the way, we've been accused of being legalist around here because we believe you ought to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that's considered to be legalist. Well, I got news to you. We fight legalism every day. We fight that crowd, and there's a bent that moves in that direction all the time, condemn everything. I go to some meetings. As a matter of fact, that's the reason I don't go to meetings. They let young preachers get up, and they get up and see who can come up with something new that they can condemn. And get up, they've got a new little something that they can get up and preach against. And tell you, if you're doing that, you're going to hell. You're doing that, you ain't even saved. I mean, I've heard them crazy stuff. I heard them do all kinds of things and say all kinds of things about, you know, and they got these little standards. And listen, if God's dealt with them about that and that's what they need to do that in order to be right with God, then go for it. But my friend, you're getting outside of the book. You're getting outside of the scripture. You see, there's enough of things that we're commanded to do without having to nitpick and worry about these other things. Y'all know what nitpicking is? There's an old generation, don't even know what that is. It's coming back, by the way, to a school near you. You know what a nit is? A nit is a lice egg that lays on a hair file on the hair shaft. Just right up above the lice do not lay their, don't start scratching your head. Lice don't lay their eggs down on the scalp. They lay it up on the hair shaft. And so the only way you can get rid of lice, they used to have what's called a fine comb. You still get them. If you get a kit, little fine comb, and you comb it with a fine comb, comb your hair with a fine comb, and it combs the nits out, which is the eggs. Now, somebody said, how do you know this, preacher? Well, there's a certain young lady in here scratching her head really bad right now. And I took her to the foreign field, and she got them. Yeah, so we dealt with it. Yeah, we did. It was a long time ago. But you might want to check your children's heads when you get home. All right, I'm just saying. Lice are back, by the way. Matter of fact, you know what the liberals on their wish list of things they wanted you to bring? They want lice kits. They want you to bring them to school. Want lice kits brought to school. That's what they want to bring Saturday. So everybody ought to bring a nit. They're nitpickers, all right? And you say, nits. A nit is what's there's the egg, and you comb it off the hair. That's what nitpicking is. Get in there and pull them off one at a time. Okay, that's nitpicking. And so there's the declaration of our liberty, there's the definition of our liberty, but I want to take time now and talk about the duty of our liberty. Look what the Bible says in verse number 16. Then I say, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So our duty, what is our duty, preacher? It concerns our walk. And by the way, it takes character to walk in the Spirit. He said, this I say, then walk in the Spirit. And here's the consequence. The character that's required, but also the revelation of the consequence. He says, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, you say, well, I can't, I'm having trouble with that, preacher. I'm having trouble with that flesh. I'm having trouble with that thing. Let me tell you how to overcome it. Filled with the Spirit. How do I stay filled with the Spirit, preacher? Well, you got to stay away from the things that feed the flesh. You got to starve the flesh. You got to feed the Spirit. You've heard me use it here before, but they asked an old Indian chief that had gotten saved. And a missionary came back to him after some months, and he said, how you doing? He said, no good. He said, why? He said, two dogs and heart. One white dog, very good. One bad dog, black dog, very bad. And he said, they fight. And the missionary said, well, which one wins? And the old Indian said, the one I feed the most. Boy, there's some real truth in that statement. Which one are you feeding the most? You win every time. Just don't feed that old fleshly dog. Don't feed that old black dog. If you want to starve him out, that'll weaken him. Strengthen that inner man. Be in church every time the door's open. Be in your Bible every day. Listen to godly things on the radio, not junk. Our duty in verse 16 concerns our walk. Our duty in verse 17 concerns our warfare. The Bible says, For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. The flesh is an enemy to the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. And the scripture says, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The flesh is an enemy. The flesh is at enmity with the spirit. And the flesh is an evil to the spirit. They cannot coexist and they cannot co-reside because they're at odds. And so it's a battle. It's a war. The old Indian had it right. There's a fight, and there is a fight every day of our lives. And so our duty concerning liberty is concerns our walk. It concerns our warfare. But our duty also concerns our witness. The Bible says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Can I say, if you have a walk that's approved by God, being led of the Spirit, then you'll have a witness that's affirmed by God. The Bible says you're not under the law. I want you to understand the law's for lawbreakers. Okay? If I'm driving down the road and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I don't look at every speed limit sign on the side of the road. I don't even know where they are. I just know how fast you're supposed to drive. It's just a general thing. I don't, you know. But boy, if I'm speeding, I watch for every car. It's got something looks like a blue light on top of it. If I'm speeding, I look at every speed limit and calculate how far over I am. You ever do that? Oh yeah. Calculate how fast I'm going. Oh yeah. Because the law says you're supposed to go this speed. Well, I'm driving not under law but under grace, and so I'm fudging a little bit, you know. And so therefore, I'm paying close attention. Everything looks like a blue light. Everything looks like a Dodge Charger. Everything it looks like, you know, I'm paying attention to those things. Construction zones. If I'm speeding anyway, you go into construction zones, the fines are doubled. Well, they get you in them construction zones. And so, you know. Roger says, no, so they go twice as fast in construction zones. I saw a new one the other day, one of the fire departments got a speed break. You will slow down now. I wished I'd had one of them years ago. I told them one time I was directing traffic with Duke Power, I said, I wished I had a telephone pole cutting the road. I bet you I'd slow them down. I mean, I've had them about run over me. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff. So they got a speed break now. I was on 280 the other day. You hit that wrong, you won't have no eye teeth. It'd jar your teeth out. Yeah, you will slow down. I mean, they funneled everybody down that one lane, and it was too slow, truthfully. I mean, it really was. It was back to traffic up. And is everybody going across that traffic bump? God help a man on a motorcycle. He'd be airborne. I'm telling you, way out there. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the law versus liberty. I'm talking about grace versus the law and the need for the law. The law's for lawbreakers to bring us into subjection, into submission. I'm glad to report to you this morning, if you're trying to trust the law to get you to heaven, it won't work. Never been a man yet that completed the law and it got him to heaven. Everybody's broke it. Somebody said, well, I'm going to start today. Well, what you going to do about all that back stuff? You see, we've all broken it. So that one's out of the question. Well, I'm going to be a good person. That's off the table. Because you've already been a bad person. What's going to atone for the bad things that you've done? That's off the table. That's not going to happen. So what are we going to do? Only thing you can do is throw yourself on the mercy of God. Throw yourself on the mercy of the court. Throw yourself, amen, on the mercy of Christ's Son who took your sins and died on the old rugged cross that we sang about. That's the only hope you have. Not of works of righteousness will we have done, but by His grace that He has saved us.